Welcome to the latest exciting edition of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. I am tonight's host, Tom, joined by Rick, Keith, and Grant, my esteemed colleagues, co-hosts, cohort, whatever you want to call them.
Just because I was late, is this podcast the latest?
Oh, good one. Good one.
Well, after that, I'm going to have to take the comedy tag out of the production schedule.
Why was that?
It's just a tag. Can we just tag it with that?
Custom tag, I can make that.
We shouldn't be false advertising comedy anyway. Let's be honest.
Good point.
Is there a droning tag? No droning this episode. We have got a fast-paced episode that'll get you to the checkered flag lickety-split. But before
nudge, wink, wink.
That's not even intimating anything. He's talking about driving, people.
Well, before I drive the point home too far and punish our listeners with any more ham-fisted hints.
Let's hit the pits and get this week's weekly roundup.
Brilliant, Rick. That's good. Good.
No, it's not. Don't encourage this kind of behavior. No, it's not.
Let's flip the signal on and pull on into our weekly roundup.
Hey, you know what else has wheels? Segways. No. I've been doing stuff this week, guys. Hey, guys. I've been doing stuff this week.
What have you been doing, Grant? What have you been doing?
League of Legends.
Oh, how's that?
Still?
That's a game. I don't think that's a game that you just play for a little bit. That's a game that you sink some time in.
Well, that means it's good.
Yeah, no.
Are you going to be attending PAX to show off your League of Legends skills?
It's no.
Too bad.
I don't have any skills, and two, I'm not going to PAX. But that game's kind of got its hooks in me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's one of the more tactically deep games that I've come across recently. So hey. Big plus to that. Although I suck at it. But there's a lot to learn and I can see where my errors are. So I'm enjoying that. And it's free, so it's going to take the place of me having to buy something like StarCraft 2 or, one of those style games.
It's quality enough that it would... I mean, was it not a mod from a... You explained it last week, I think. But
it was originally a kind of a different custom map for Warcraft 3. And then most of the developers went on to create League of Legends. So
very cool.
It's all fleshed out like with matchmaking and a kind of a microtransaction system, things like that.
That sounds kick butt, man. So that's pretty much taking up your time this week.
I got a new computer desk, so I've been once again delving into the art of cable management.
Oh yeah,
cable management is a dick, y'all.
Yeah,
I love it.
Okay, well let's talk wrapping. How do you wrap multiple cables together? How do you bind?
Braid them? But you don't want to braid cables of different types.
But you legitimately just braid cables together?
Oh, absolutely.
Interesting. I was just gonna buy a big mesh braided cover and just...
That's actually really a good way to go. They actually make a material that you can slide cable into, and it is it's stretchy mesh. So if you've got 20 cables or if you only have like 5, it holds the cable together very well. I can't remember what the name of it is called though.
I know it is. It's stretchy cable mesh actually.
Don't get that hard one. That the hard tubey one.
Which I did. I bought that.
I'm normally the one giving away the hard 2v1.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I just have too much of it. In my last job, I was a gaffer.
Got it. Cool, Grant. So you're computer-centric this week, both gaming and cabling to facilitate gaming.
And still working on my game and still just hammering out a bunch of errors in the way that I'm handling graphs. So that's a lot of fun.
That's flex braided cable jacket.
Googling.
All right.
That's what you want. Tech Flex.
Is it on Amazon?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, well, hopefully it is, because then I'm going to buy it, because the way my desk is set up, it's in the middle of the room, with the back of the desk facing the door. So, got to make it neat for if people have to see it.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, if you've got nothing else to report,
that's really it for me.
I will flex my hosting muscles and cable on over to Keith for an update. What do you have to, Keith?
Perfect segue, because I have been doing somewhat of the same thing. I have finally mounted my flat screen TV.
Yes.
And I have been hiding cables all week long.
So you mounted a TV and hid cables in it.
Exactly. And in 9 months, I'm hoping to have an iPad.
What are you going to name the little tyke?
Piece of shit.
Yeah!
My daddy called me.
I'm a crap. No, but I was debating whether I needed to raise my TV. My unit that the TV was sitting on was at a certain height, and my center channel speaker is 9 inches tall. So I needed a way to lift the TV up higher than that. I was contemplating mounting it to the wall. Living in an apartment with studs that are 24 inches on center and aluminum or steel or whatever they make them out of, I was really wary of trying to mount it. If I was going to do it that way, I would have to put up a sheet of plywood and mount the TV to that. And I didn't really want to do that, since this is kind of, you know, condo, apartment, whatever. So I ended up buying a floor stand that's designed to sit behind the low boy unit, and it lifts the TV up so it's just an inch over my speakers, like the perfect height.
Oh, nice.
And it's got a great way to hide all the cabling going to and from the television. So, yeah, I've been doing kind of the same thing Grant's been doing. Also, I got sucked back into World of Warcraft.
Oh,
by a panda bear?
No, not a bear. A bear nonetheless. I created a long time ago, I created a, what are the bad guys? Horde. A horde druid. And I think I got him up to level 5. And then this weekend, well, over the last 2 weeks, I've been playing a little bit, but this weekend was all horde druid leveling. And now I'm at level 49, I believe, is when I quit. And yeah, dude, it was like, you know, the game was kind of boring. You know, I've done everything, been everywhere, but doing it all from the horde side was kind of neat, seeing going through those quests. Yeah, it kind of sucked me in this past week and weekend. So, you know, when I wasn't working on the TV and laying cable, I was playing World of Warcraft again.
Lame.
Only chance you're getting me back in that game is next to Hallows Eve.
Yeah, I might pop back in with Skaggle Ricks on Old Hallows Eve myself.
I don't know, man. That video with the panda looks pretty neat.
Oh, settle down. It looks like Kung Fu Panda.
It does.
I got to send you guys a link to a YouTube video that shows all the new abilities that the panda has. It's friggin' hilarious.
Does he say Skidoo or whatever when he does his moves? Whatever that thing is from Kung Fu Panda.
No. But it's funny, as soon as they announced it, how many people created level 1 tunes with the name of Poe and Skadoosh and all variations of those things so that they could all, you know, pretend like they're cool.
I would really like it if Jack... I would love it if Jack Black led a campaign to, like, just sue that out of existence just for the sake of helping the community out. No, you guys aren't doing
for this. For helping the World Warcraft community, right?
Yeah.
There's no helping those people.
Well, I mean, hopefully this is the straw that broke the panda's back. That's all I'm saying.
The noodle.
Yeah, the noodle. Chinese
anyway,
noodle.
Anyway, I kind of always sometimes think about going back to WoW, so I kind of am sort of interested to see how that goes for you, Keith.
Yeah, we'll see. I keep telling I'm not buying the expansion because I want to get away from it. So I haven't pre-ordered it, and I don't plan on buying it, but we'll see.
Okay.
I think you can create a panda without having to buy the expansion, at least. I believe that's the new thing they're doing with this expansion.
Please. I do not know.
Please don't.
Please don't. All right. That summed you up pretty well, Keith. Sounds like you got a pretty a lot going on.
That cable wraps me up.
Oh.
You guys are just depressing me today.
Well, we're trying to panda to our audience who likes puns.
It's a pandemonium.
We're not even trying. This is so bad. Grant's bamboozled over there.
Really? Really?
Bamboo? Is that even a word? I just made that up so I can say bamboo. Oh, God, that was a poe pun. All right. Rick, what have you been up to, man?
I've spent the last week on an emotional roller coaster. The high point, celebrating Leon Theremin's birthday. The low point, mourning the death of Mr. Hans Kamenzind. The creator.
A bad timing on that one.
For those who don't understand Grant's pun, he was the creator of the 555 timer chip. So,
bitches, I'm dropping puns about a man dying. Taking this to the next horrible level.
So, other than that, the ups and downs of that, I've been groin deep in Arduino development.
Probably making that gynoid?
No, I'm trying to make a stupid, I'm working with synthesizers and MIDI and Arduinos, and it's fun and frustrating all at the same time. That's all I'm saying about the subject. And then other than that, I spent a lot of toilet time researching for tonight's topic.
Fantastic.
Did everything come out okay?
Everything came out just grand. Turismo.
Oh, yes.
So that wraps it up for me.
I can attest to the project you're working on the Arduino side seems pretty daunting. You're dealing a lot with a little data processing coming in over MIDI, so I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, it's, you know, I had, like, immediate success, which, you know, much like every project I take on, I have, like, a half-baked idea, and I do a theoretical test, and it's magical and works perfectly, and then I realize all of the stumbling blocks or roadblocks or speed bumps that are ahead of me, and then I'm just kind of like, it's a cool theory. I'm going to try something else now. But I kind of have to do this one, so I'm going to stick with it. And now that you're back in town, I'll soak your mind for some help.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, I guess I'll give my update, and we'll kick it into gear and get this topic going. I'm back in town. I'm back in the FLA, enjoying Florida's warm embrace. And since being back, I have bought some new window treatments. And no.
Any vacuums in your future?
Well, it's funny you mention that. I have an appropriately geeky vacuum story for you guys. My Roomba vacuum droid has been dying like mid vacuum, like 10-15 minutes in, he just dies and gives the trouble signal, and it's his battery going out. And last time this happened to me, the people at iRobot disappointed me by making me trade in my Roomba, like basically return my Roomba, because I had an extended warranty at Sears, and get a new Roomba. And hated that.
Tom, just to give everybody a little insight, dealing with Tom during this period was very similar to dealing with
a crazy person.
It was like dealing with somebody who took their beloved pet to the vet and then was told, "Sir, the outcome is terminal. And although we probably could work some magic and give you your beloved little creature back, I think we're just going to flush this one down the tube and give you a new one."
That's pretty much it, man.
Which is why I said we should have just broke into his house and replaced it with one that looked just like it.
Painted its tail like the Beat the Parents movie. My little Roomba discovery, his name is Elmer, and I wrote an email to iRobot explaining my problem, and, you know, they were like, "Well, unfortunately, you're going to have to get a new robot." No suggestion to get a new battery, nothing. Just your robot's toast. So long, kid. Well, thankfully, my mom, who bought me the Roomba, bought an extended warranty at Sears. So I, like, walked back in, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll take the old one back and give you this new one. I'm like, well, can I keep the old one? They're like, no, we need it. I'm like, can I? You're just going to – and I used to work at Sears. I know what happens to return electronics. They just get thrown in a bin and forgotten. So I'm horrified. I mean, I had to do all these, like, occult rituals to transfer Elmer's spirit into the new Roomba to rationalize getting rid of Elmer's original body. So I'm still not happy about that. And I'm thinking – I'm, like, ready to cry – thinking like a new battery won't work anything. Well, who comes to the rescue but my friends at a website called Robot Shop, where I've bought many tinkering parts for Arduino and stuff. They have a helpful video about how to get your Roomba to recharge when your battery is in a failed state called a deep discharge. And following
yeah.
that,
yeah, I love that pizza.
The deep discharge new from Pizza Hut. Well, I'm in that process. There's a button sequence you press, and the Roomba makes a sound I've never heard before, and that indicates that his charging memory is cleared, and I have him plugged in, and hopefully after 72 hours, I will have a much better charged Roomba, and I have to repeat this cycle maybe a number of times to get my battery back up to where it needs to be. But the moral of the story is don't leave your Roomba plugged in if you're not going to use your Roomba a lot, because that messes up its battery, and I think that's what killed Elmer.
Now, are you afraid of the new robot, the new iRobot, just like Will Smith was afraid of the new robots?
If you're asking me
to take over?
If you're asking me if I, like, interrogate my robot, act like a dick, and then wonder why he gets mad, no.
Why the attachment to the old robot? It's just a robot.
It's not a robot, it's a friend. You shut up.
Even I'm offended by that, and it wasn't even mine.
You own a Roomba. I'm telling you, forget the Dyson or the Auric or whatever you're thinking of buying. Get a Roomba and you'll understand. It becomes your friend.
It's merely a tool.
Shut up. It's not.
You're a tool.
So basically what you're saying is that you're a crazy cat lady except for with...
Man, I'm still thinking about...
Residential vacuum.
Yes. And I'm still contemplating finding an old Roomba Discovery on eBay and basically... It's cloning Elmer's soul back into it, so I have him back in his original form. Because I miss him.
I think he died because you named him Elmer.
I don't care what you think.
Wait, what did Elmer stand for? Did you have like an acronym baked in there?
No, it just sounded nice.
Oh, it didn't stand for like electronic
life.
Yeah, I thought there was something to that.
I think I may have come up with an acronym, but I just started calling him Elmer. So anyway, now he's still Elmer. Elmer lives on. Apart from that, apart from hopefully keeping Elmer alive in his current body, I have been having a lot more fun with my 3DS and doing a lot more of the location-based discovery and stuff. It's really fun.
Been hanging out a lot of playgrounds.
I really don't know where you guys are getting this whole weird pedo thing. I'm a little offended. It has nothing. There's nothing like that. You guys are sick. You're sick sickos. You're dirty birdies.
Ginkgo, ginkgo.
So how many
children? Tommy touched me.
And apart from that, I have been playing the Nintendo Wii. I've been playing the Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword game. Wow. It's the 3DS that's gotten me inspired to blow through some Nintendo games and before the Wii dies next month or whatever. And
How tired of the blue lady are you?
I haven't encountered her too much. She's annoying already, but I've only just discovered her. Apparently, she pops up to give you a bunch of tips and tricks along the way, which are going to sound annoying.
So why is the Wii going to die? What do you mean?
Well, the Wii U, its successor, is in the offing, so that should be. I guess that'll kind of do in the Wii, and then I'll rush out to buy another Nintendo system in which I'll be disappointed. But, yeah, Skyward Sword, really, really cool game. I just sometimes wish I could play with the classic controller, and I have to waggle my face off to do it.
Yep. But you're not even to any of the parts where it's actually kind of makes sense. Like where you have to attack from a very certain angle, or...
Yeah, well, they forced in, like, to, you know, half these logs down at an angle and thrust and do this and that, and I'm just like, oh boy. But
it becomes kind of cool, but mostly, like, yeah, during a lot of the later boss fights, it becomes a pain in the ass.
Can't wait. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. That and, installed the new Mac OS on 2 out of my 3 Macs. That's pretty
cool. Here's a question for you.
Yeah?
Why the fuck do you got a Mac?
Oh!
How is Train Simulator 2012?
Oh, Mac? You know, shockingly, I deleted that from my Steam library, and I don't know. I haven't played it yet.
Fucking
but,
asshole.
I will get back to you when I have time to learn how to run industrial equipment.
Hey, I tried playing Psychonauts, and although it seems like I would like that game, the controls are horrific. I can't deal with it.
Do you have a gamepad hooked up to your computer?
No, I have a mouse.
Well, you got to hook up an Xbox controller to your computer.
You need a Gravis pad, man. Where have you been?
I need that. I need the old Nintendo 360 pad.
Nintendo 360.
Oh, the what was it called?
The NES Max.
The Max. Yeah, the NES Max for that everybody used for Skate or Die.
I love the NES Max, man. That was like the best. That was like basically that was the PlayStation controller. Like
the advantage. The advantage is where it was at.
The advantage is the joystick, right?
Mm-hmm. The arcade style.
Also cool.
Betty.
So nice. Yeah, so also the advantage of the advantage and the Max was they had built in turbo buttons. So for track and field, you could just hold down the buttons and race ahead.
Yeah.
Race ahead. Which is a perfect segue into tonight's topic.
Oh, yeah. Real fucking smooth there.
Smooth shifting on my part. In case the listeners haven't already worked it out, tonight's topic, based on all the car and racing-related puns, is tabletop role-playing games. And, no. It's NASCAR.
Attention race fans, welcome to the Nerdstravaganza Raceway, where tonight we're going to discuss our top 5 racing / driving games! Yeah!
Wow, that was awesome. This is a Rick-inspired title, and that was his intro, and it was perfect. I think he should have hosted, too. But it fell to me. So why don't I kick over to our announcer, to our trackside announcer, Racing Rick, Rad Racer Rick, that's your new name.
Alright, so what are we going to do here? We're going to start off and we're going to go around the room and we're going to give our top 5 picks.
Wait, can we argue about what qualifies as a racing game first?
Absolutely not. Okay. And we will just go one at a time. I don't want to be first since I'm talking now. But why don't we start off with the number 5 pick, Turkeith.
Okay, so you want my number 1 pick.
I want your number 5 pick.
My number 5 pick. I toiled over this quite a bit, and after a lot of thought and searching the internet and seeing how much of it I would remember, I've got to pick Gran Turismo. Now, I'm picking Gran Turismo, whatever version came out on the PS1. I don't know which one that is, but that's the one that I played. I haven't played any of them since then, although they all look amazing. But I used to go over to my buddy's house all the time, and we'd just sit there and race for hours on end. And, yeah, that's my number 5 pick, Gran Turismo.
Any specific reason why that was why that was a pick? Standout features, or was it just fun gameplay, or...?
It was the competition. I liked being able to race against my buddy. It looked real, and then we would race, and then we would watch the replays of the race, which was, I don't know if they were the first to do it, but it was a new feature for us, and it's just a racing game that we could race in, you know?
Yeah, that was a sweet
idea. Head-to-head.
It was probably, I think it was most people's first real playing of a more simulation-oriented racing game. It's right. The first one that really felt right. When you hit Laguna Seca in one of those games, it was just your ass was blown away on some of those curves.
It was a really good mix of like simulation and arcade. Like, it was a sim game. It had all the awesomeness of a sim game, but all the awesome playability of an arcade game, I thought.
Agreed. Yeah, it was. I remember it being. It would be the mode. Right, there was a mode. There was like a super realistic, like unforgiving mode. But then you could turn a lot of that off and still actually have fun. Right. I remember that.
Did that have ghost mode? Was there ghost mode in that one?
Not in Gran Turismo now.
I don't think there are ghosts in any of those games.
Doom Buggy Racing. Walt Disney World presents Doom Buggy Racing.
Yeah, maybe you're thinking Mario Kart. There's a haunted house level in that.
Totally. It did battle it out with another game, but I won't mention that game because one of you may have that on one of your lists, so we'll just wait and see.
Okay.
Tommy, you can take it from here.
Okay. I would say my number five spot is occupied currently by Forza Motorsport 4, which is an Xbox 360 like ultra realistic racing sim game in the vein of Gran Turismo. And I would say that Gran Turismo and the Forza games sort of leapfrog each other depending on which one I played and which generation, and probably one of them will probably permanently occupy this spot. However, a modern racer will never ascend beyond this spot because of all the nostalgia I have for the old racers I'm going to mention later.
Agreed.
So, yeah, Forza is awesome. It's enjoyable. There's a really nice Top Gear tie-in, which is really one of my favorite programs on TV when I catch it. Not enough that I would watch it religiously.
And US, I'm not really, or British?
What's that?
US or British?
There's no other show besides the British one.
Okay. Almost all of it's on Netflix if you ever want to catch it.
Oh, I'll have to then, because when I catch it on BBC, I'm not even like a gearhead racing fan. They just make it the topic so enjoyable and accessible.
Yeah.
And
it's more of a comedy show than a car show.
Yeah, honestly, it is. And, you know, but they describe, like, they bring cars down to earth so that I understand them as well, you know? Instead of getting, I don't understand the engineering necessarily, but speak to me in human terms, and I like it, you know? And having that tie-in with Forza 4 puts it at my current, like, modern racer top spot. I will qualify that by saying I have not played the latest Gran Turismo offering, which I understand was released at some point, but I don't know when, because it was like on hold for like 12 years.
All right, now, I know that you got your Forza before you got your R2 unit, which came with a Kinect. So have you tried Forza with the Kinect and the head sensing?
I've not done that yet, so I am looking forward to... Unfortunately, my Forza game is in Seattle, and I'm here with my Kinect without my Forza game, so I can't tell you how fun it is to, like, look around my cockpit. But that might be cool, to actually be able to glance around while you're racing, so I will report on that when I get the chance.
The only problem is when you glance to the left, you see your refrigerator. When you glance to the right, you see the couch.
That actually is how Tom's apartment's laid out, which is pretty cool since you've never been there.
Yeah, how did you know that? pretty brilliant. So yeah, Forza 4, and that is that's sort of my permanent modern racer spot.
I'm going to go now. Can I go now? I want to go now.
Go.
That shouldn't even be edited. With that shit.
No, I wouldn't really leave that in there, because you motherfuckers weren't segueing for shit, so check this. Mine, Dirt 3. Because you're all's, oh, it's simulation driving on roads? Fuck that, you pussy-ass bitches. You drive on roads every goddamn day. What's so fucking special about that bullshit? Dirt 3, you're driving on dirt.
What are you driving? Was it the quads, or was that actually, like, off-road rally cars?
It's mainly off-road rally cars, but they do have, like, the rally trucks, and it goes over a lot of different types of terrain. Snow, sand, dirt. There's a little bit of asphalt, but let's face it, that's not the main drag there.
Whose fault was it?
Asphalt. But it's another one of the, I think we're all getting out our, like, kind of super realistic simulation style games for this first round, just to get some credibility before we all say things like Mario Kart.
Hey, don't watch that tone. That's a credible racer.
Mario Kart's the fucking worst.
That dirt game is cool.
Dirt.
I played the demo on my 360, and I've debated buying it, but I haven't because I have enough fun. Like, my level of interest is fun enough for the demo, so...
Does the demo have any of the Gymkhana events?
I don't know, but it's pretty deep for a demo, man. Like, I can, like, get new cars and all kinds of shit. It's kind of cool.
Well, it has this extra weird arcade event called Gymkhana, where you, basically do gymnastics and kill people.
Oh, no, they don't have that. That's
awesome. No, that's Gymkhana. The Gymkhana is... where you basically just drive around and do sweet stunts, like do a donut, run over these barrels, jump over stuff, corkscrew. It's like that.
A skills thing?
Yeah. It's basically just a goofy arcadey mode that they throw in with all of the more realistic simulation aspects.
That's cool.
It's fun stuff. I like the game.
Well, I gotta say, dude, I had an insanely hard time trying to come up with only five, which really surprised me because I thought I was going to be struggling to come up with five. And then as I was going through everything, I had a list. I think I had a list of probably like 14 or 15, and I had to dwindle it down. And I almost came up with like a bracket system to figure this shit out.
Which car wait? Which racing game wins, sorry.
And it was brutal, man, because I had to leave out a lot of cool games, but I think I brought it down to a level that I was able to base my decision on if I see it in the wild, am I excited to see it and or play it, or if I am going through boxes of crap in my storage room or in my game bins or whatever, I see it, it makes me want to break out an old system. So those were my two criteria. And based on that, I still had a shit ton of stuff, but the final factor was which one in the past have I played the most? So that was kind of like the tiebreaker when it came to a final decision. And I have a shitload of honorable mentions for later, but I solidified my picks, and at number five is Star Wars Episode I Pod Racers.
Now, we're going to go ahead and limit that to the arcade version, right?
I am limiting it to the arcade version because it's the only thing I've ever played. I've never played any of the other versions. Even though that game holds the record for best-selling sci-fi racing game, having a worldwide sales of 3.12 million, beating other series like Wipeout and F-Zero, which I found extremely surprising.
Well, that's because to buy one machine was like 20 times the cost of...
I think they're talking about home for the home.
Oh, really?
Version.
Home?
It was out for Windows. It was out for Nintendo 64, Game Boy, Mac, Dreamcast. It was actually out for a bunch of shit.
But well, people are dumb and they buy dumb stuff.
Well, it also, like, you know...
I'm kidding, by the way.
Buying it is one thing. Playing it more than once is another. So.
Yeah, no, the arcade version of that, that's why I brought that up. The arcade version, it stands as having one of the coolest cabinets.
Yes. Yeah. The only disappointment I have about that is I wish that they... I loved the single player. I loved the multi, like, hookup where you're racing your friends. I wish they had a cabinet that moved, or at least had vibration or something.
Some kind of hydraulics. I wish they had more great groups in it.
But it also had a really huge screen, too, which made it...
Yes.
Impressive.
That was one of the best, like, when anytime I see that in an arcade or anywhere, even still, I'm like, ooh, I gotta go play that. That shit was fun. And we spent many a roll of quarters at Grand Prix Racerama playing that baby. So that's my number five. So Tom, why don't you give us the startup on number four picks?
Okay. Yeah, I'll do my number four pick. By the way, I suffered the same thing. I had like 300 racing games in mind, and I'll try to work in or give honorable mentions or something to the ones that I don't pick, but I had to really just pare my list down. I would say that the next one on my list would be a probably little known sci-fi motorcycle racing game for the Nintendo Entertainment System called Mach Rider.
Yes!
What? Which was nice! Awesome. Mach Rider, you were basically trying to like save the world from evil. I had like a pretty, I'm just going by memory. I try to just go by my impressions more than do a lot of research. But I remember like it was like, evil controls this territory. You are Mach Rider, and they would encourage you by telling you are Mach Rider at the beginning. Like, oh, I am Mach Rider. That's right. I am he.
But all you did was drive. You didn't. You never saved the world from evil. You just drove from one place to another.
No. In fact, you drove and
shot a little.
Your motorcycle had like little like laser blaster things, and you shot like drags from motorcycles and saved the world from evil. And it was very hard, and you died a lot. But when you died, you would like you'd splinter apart. But then like if you still had like extra lives, you'd like zip back together. And the best part of the game for me was the music. Because it had, like, this really, like, just encouraging, like, kick-ass, although typically NES repetitive, soundtrack. And that blended with the fact that your motorcycle made this, like, woo, like, this really cool-sounding, like, futuristic motorcycle noise. Nice. It just blended together perfectly, man. Like, I played that game. I sucked at that game. I died, and I was an easily discouraged kid. But just for the music and being encouraged, you know, you are Mach Rider. I'm like, I am! I would just keep playing it over and over again. I didn't care if I died. I just loved playing that game. That probably deserves better than number four, but I'll just arbitrarily give it that.
All right, I'm going to have to go next because that ties in so perfectly with theme-wise. Okay, the rundown on Mach Rider was that you travel from sector to sector and you're fighting bad guys. Or basically, you control Mach Rider who travels from sector to sector on a motorcycle searching for survivors and destroying enemies in his path.
Sounds right.
Okay, well that takes me to my number four pick, which is totally, totally similar, dude. And that is another arcade classic called Road Blaster by Atari,
oh, yes.
Released in 1987, baby. And basically, it's the same idea. You're a car, and you're driving to this your next sector or city or whatever you want to call it. You see it like over in the back in the, you know, in the distance, and your object of this game is to get from checkpoint to checkpoint or sector to sector. Without running out of fuel, and all the while you're getting power-ups like you hit these green globes to get gas, you get these power-ups that fly down and land on your roof that give you the ability to shoot other cars, and you get like, you know, different levels where there's motorcycle guys you're shooting or guys in limos you're shooting, guys are shooting at you, you got gun turrets, mines, toxic spills, commando cars, motorcycles, rat jeeps, all kinds of shit, man. I freaking love this game because it's just so, I don't know, I always felt like I gotta save the world and I gotta get to the next sector. If it kills me, I gotta do it. And it was the same thing, like the music was just like, I mean, I wish it said, you are Road Blaster.
That's
the only thing it was missing, man. I loved everything in this game. I loved the controls. There was a sit-down cabinet, but I never got to, I've never even seen it, let alone played it. But it had a cool, you know, you had a gas pedal, and then you had your steering wheel in the stand-up cabinet, which most of the time is kind of a flop, but on this game, it actually worked really well. Nowadays, it's impossible to find one that doesn't have, like, a goofy, loose steering wheel. But, yeah, the excitement of that game, the music of that game, I like the graphics, everything. That's my number four pick.
Very nice.
Keith, take it away.
Three simple words. Need for speed.
Yes.
And then two more words. Hot Pursuit.
Yes, baby! Yes!
I loved that game. And of all of the racing games, except for my number one, and this would be console type, I probably played that more than anything. And I probably played just one track, the Atlantica track. Man, I freaking
Dude, that game was fun as crap. There's just, you know, it was, when it came out, it was amazing. It was definitely arcadey, more on the arcadey side than the realistic side. But yeah, dude, just, you know, mastering the tracks and being able to, you know, complete them in quicker and quicker times and avoid the cops or, you know, screw with the cops. That I love that game. Need for Speed 3. It rocked.
Agreed. 1,000%. And that was one of the cool games that had, for PlayStation, that you could get, like, weird cheat codes. And when I say weird cheat codes, I mean not stuff that unlocks, like, you know, no crashing. Although they did have that, but because I am who I am, I always played as, like, either a school bus or, like, a floating log. You could actually play this game as a school bus or a log or a bunch of other different types of games. It was actually really cool.
So that's my number four. And like I said, there's other games that I like higher than it, but I probably played that one more than any other game on the list except for my number one.
What about you, Grant?
You know what? Unlike you all, I don't think I'm the born racing game kind of sort that you all appear to be. I actually had difficulty coming up with five that I felt really had the that warranted being in a top five. But after a bit of struggle, I remembered that I do find arcade-style racing games, like, you know, the goofy, cartoony ones, to be fun. But I have to say that I prefer Diddy Kong Racing to anything Mario Kart or Crash Bandicoot or any of those. Diddy Kong Racing is far superior to any of those games in every measure.
Is that Sean P. Diddy Combs Racing?
Yeah. P. Diddy Combs Racing.
Now, what was that? Was that, like, 64? Was that Wii?
Yeah, it was Nintendo 64. One of the probably three games for Nintendo 64 that I would still go back and play.
Yeah, I've actually tried to go back and play Need for Speed 3. A little difficult.
Yeah, a lot of those PlayStation 1 games are rough.
As in, not difficult hard, but difficult in hard to swallow.
And it's amazing how amazing that game was when it came out. Yeah. I mean, it looked realer than real life, and now you look at it and you're like, what is that crap?
What the fuck was I thinking?
It's just like Pit Fighter on wheels.
Anybody have any input on Diddy Kong? I've never played it myself.
Just that I am a Mario Kart fanboy, but I actually do remember that game being really good.
It was phenomenal. You know what the thing about that game was? The single-player mode had a lot more depth to it. Like, there was an extreme motivation to, like, beat the developers' times on tracks or things like that.
Was, like, it a kart-type game like Mario Kart, or was it more driving car type thing?
It was carts, hovercrafts, and planes. You could pick those three.
Okay.
I believe the carts were normally the superior ones.
Did you have to, like, beat on bongos to get propulsion or anything?
No, you
am I mixing games there?
You may be. I don't think there were bongos in Nintendo 64. Remember, think of Donkey Konga or Donkey Kong's. Was it Donkey Kong's Jungle Blast? Jungle Beat? Barrel Blast? I don't know.
Oh, the barrel game? Yeah. Well, there was one big difference, Rick. Banana peels in this game actually made you go faster instead of peeling, like, spitting out.
They made you peel out instead of spitting out.
Spitting out.
He sort of said it.
All right, Tom, what about, what's your number three pick?
Okay, my number three. Now we're getting into, like, dicey territory here, where I'm, like, having to, like, arbitrarily pick out of a hat. Okay, my number three pick, I would say, this one was a favorite because it was sort of epic-defining for me. Like, oh, wow, we've crossed a threshold here. And what I want to say is an awesome Sega racer called Daytona USA.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm gonna refrain from saying that, so I can instead say this game, which is Virtua Racer.
Yes!
Virtua Racing, I should say.
Yes!
Which, when I saw that, like, I had read about it, and I think they maybe even had it at Grand Prix, but I didn't really
see
it. I didn't see it until I was in basic training. And we are in I'm in basic training in the Air Force. And in basic training in the Air Force, you're allowed to go to the base exchange or BX to buy necessary supplies, right? Uh-huh. Well, you're not allowed to play video games, buy candy. You're not allowed to do these other things. But I saw that game. And I was with this other, like, you know, like, kind of rule-breaking kid. We went, because you were allowed, like, march in twos in the BX on Sundays. That was, like, your free day if you didn't go to, if you'd go to church or temple or whatever. So I was like, dude, do you want to go make a phone call? He's like, I'm not supposed to. I'm like, well, I'm not supposed to play this game, but I'm going to. So, I mean, I'm risking, like, big-time trouble if, like, if a TI were to walk into this exchange and see this brand-new, like, you know, trainee sitting there playing this game, but I couldn't resist. And I played it like four times. Mind you, you have very little money on you too. Like, you have $25 just because it'll last you your whole time. Or something crazy like that. And I blew like $3 or $4 in a row playing this, and like we're marching back, and I'm just like, that was the best game I've ever played. This is like a whole, you understand, this is like a whole new era we're in.
Did they just have a single game, or were you able to experience it hooked up?
Unfortunately, they had just a single game, so I wasn't able to, playing it hooked up would have blown my mind. But yeah, I just want to say, that was in basic training. 2 years later, I went back to that base. I was still in the Air Force, but I was a free man now, and I went back there for like some more training, and they still had it. And then mind you, it wasn't even new tech at that time. I think Daytona USA had probably come out, but I was just going hog wild playing it, man. It was an awesome game.
Both of those games are games that Keith and I were...
Days.
Yeah. Days. Like half paychecks pumped into those fucking machines, dude. Because at Grand Prix, they were hooked together.
Oh, how
and
awesome.
we were able to race two or three, six guys at a time. And, dude, you had guys lined up like three or four guys deep, and we were working out systems where it's like if you placed in the top three, you could stay, and then, you know, the bottom three had to swap out and let the next person in line play. It was fucking sick, dude. It was almost like a league going on at Grand Prix. I'm surprised money wasn't being exchanged. It was awesome.
That's so cool, man. You know, I'm just gonna say on Daytona. Again, this is still another Air Force story. This just, I guess, gives you my age or whatever. But I knew these two brothers at one of my duty stations who were awesome at Daytona USA. So we go into the arcade. They're like, oh, dude, we'll show you some tips. These guys were masters of, like, downshifting and, like, sliding. I was like, I didn't even know this game could be played like this. Like, they were blowing people away. And they had linked ones at that arcade. And it was these two, I believe they were twin brothers. They were phenomenal, and they're showing me all this. Like, my mind was blown at how in depth that game was. If you knew how to play it, man.
Nice,
so cool. So anyway, yeah, that's Sega, man. Back when Sega was just kicking ass, man, and innovating like there was no.
Yeah, they definitely ruled the arcades for a little while there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what's weird too is it seems like a bunch of these driving games came out around the same time that you were seeing a bunch of fighting games. And it might have been, like, I'm not a huge fan of the fighting game, so it might have been why I was gravitating more towards the driving games. Because when we're at the arcade and I wanted to play something new, that's what was there.
They were debuting at the same time as the 3D fighters, so the polygons, yeah. Polygons were coming into their own and
yes.
Taking over.
What about you, Keith? What's at number three on your list?
My number three is an arcade game that I can honestly say I was better than everybody I know at it. And it
I know
hard, it. Hard driving.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They had that at the local Don Carter's bowling alley, and I owned it. There's just no two ways about it. The force feedback of the steering, the realistic physics, it was real driving, and it proved to everybody that I am the best driver on the planet. And that game, I just loved it. I could just sit there. I play for, you know, because you have checkpoints, and you had to make the checkpoints, and I can make all the checkpoints forever, man. That game, there was nothing better.
What about how were you at Stunt Driving? That other one that was just like it.
By the time Stunt Driver came out,
that was one
neat.
I liked.
It was neat, but I didn't like it. I mean, it was cool. It had new stuff, and it even had. It was pretty much the same, but it was more gimmicky. I just liked, you know, the simple bridge jump and the loop in hard driving better.
And they both had multi screens, right?
Well, some boxes did and some didn't.
Right.
Nice. Wow.
Hard drive is my number three.
Aptly named hard drive, if I remember right.
Yes, definitely.
I remember sitting down, this is after I had learned to, stay alive in Ninja Turtles 4-player a lot. And I'm like, hard driving? I mean, they're not kidding. And I had to work out the economics of, playing that once. Or, hanging on the Turtles machine and letting the kids, blow their quarters away on the bosses.
The economics.
Yeah, that was, a pricey... it was hard, and I didn't have money to learn.
It was hard, and I'm with you on that, dude. I was like, I could play three games of something else, or I could play one game of this.
Yeah, that wasn't that one of the early games that cost, a buck to play, too? Well, not one of the... Yeah, it was. It was more
pricey quarters, then, three quarters, but, I mean, it was the first... polygon, real physics, force feedback racing game, or driving game. It was amazing. And you every time you made a lap, it would create a ghost of your last lap, so you could race against yourself as you're going
around. I sucked at that game.
The best part was seeing people who would catch air, and they don't realize that they need to turn their wheels in the air to make sure when they land, they're going in the right direction.
Grant, number, what are we on, three?
Three, yeah. Three for me was actually pretty easy. I feel like this one was a solid number three pick. Uniracers for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, FX chip, right?
No, that was FX Racing. Uniracers was... It was a two-dimensional racing game that was from the side. And you were a unicycle.
Did the unicycle have eyes?
No, it was just, you weren't anthropomorphized in any way, you were just a damn unicycle. But you would do stunts and link stunts together to go faster around these two-dimensional, little tracks. It was a lot of fun. I feel it's painfully, painfully underrated, but it was just such a great game.
That was Super Nintendo, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I never played it, but I know other people that were insanely addicted to it.
It was so good.
I can't stop confusing it with FX Racer, Grant. I'm sorry. I want to, but I remember hearing the title, then the name, and seeing write-ups about it and stuff.
You are Uniracer.
It was one of those games where we would just find, say, the smallest, shortest track, and then play it 100 times to try to shave off that hundredth of a second to get the high score on it.
Right. To unlock the achievements.
The achievement of beating your older brother at a video game.
which really are the best type of achievements.
That is the best kind of achievement.
I always won those because I was the older brother, so... I had no one to beat!
You were the winner. pretty advanced physics in that, Grant? Or, I mean, were the tricks, did it just feel convincing when you played it, or...?
It felt good. It felt good. Kind of imagine, a two-dimensional Tony Hawk.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
The tricks did feel good. There were flatland tricks, even. You could do some sweet unicycle, manuals if you wanted to.
Like ollie?
Well, that you just jump, but you could, there was a head bounce where you would do a Z-flip and bounce on your head, then Z-flip again. That was the Rodney goddamn Mullins of fucking unicycles. It was great. I love that game.
You're the Sean White of super nice, unicycles.
Except for more manly.
Sean White is a pretty man.
Kind of looks maybe like if he just had a cup on him, I'd probably ask him to dinner.
All right, and we're going to go with my number three pick. My number three pick is a motorcycle racing video game series by Electronic Arts, which the player participates in violent, illegal street races. The game was originally released for the Sega Mega Drive /Genesis system, but was ported to several other systems. In fact, six different games were released from 1991 to 1999, and a 2004 licensed a port of this game for the Game Boy Advance. It's a little game I like to call
Road
Rash.
Nice.
I was fucking addicted to this game like you would never imagine, dude. And it was at a time when me and Keith were roommates. I had my Genesis hooked up to this weird Betamax projection machine that had like a telescopic lens on it and shit. Anyway, we hacked wires together to enable the sound to go to the stereo and the picture to go into this weird projector, and we would shine it on the blinds that were covering our sliding glass doors. So, you know, we would play all kinds of games like Mario Lemieux Hockey on it. We'd play like Earthworm Jim, the Mortal Kombat with guys that were literally, they were actually 6 feet tall. It was fucking crazy. So to play this game with like the moving road screen and driving these motorcycles, and at the time my only mode of transportation was a motorcycle, so I was like a demon on this fucking game, whipping out my chains, taking guys down, not being able to pay my tickets or fix my bike. It was awesome. I loved it.
Man, we had a lot of fun playing that one. Many a late night.
Yes. It was a game that it kind of like took its, I guess maybe it was birthed from, was Hang On. Do you guys remember that, like the arcade?
Yeah, yeah. The motorcycle, there was either a stand-up or a cab version of Hang On, another Sega innovation, by the way.
Yes, and I never saw like the one that just had like the handlebars. I only ever saw the one where you had to ride the bike, and I sucked at leaning on it. But Hang On was one of my super big favorites until this came out, and then I could just sit at home and play it gigantic full screen size and absolutely loved it. So that's my number three pick. Road Rash.
Game was awesome, man. Game was awesome. I got sucked into that. My friend's all bleary-eyed, comes out of his dorm room when they were in the middle. Again, another Air Force story. Oh, boy. Another war story. Dude, you got to come over and play this. What? Road Rash. Oh, the motorcycle game? I'm really not really... Oh, just come play it, man. Just come play it. Next scene, I'm like, Road Rash! Yeah! Just sucked right into that game.
Road Rash. It's awesome because, like, the game was over. If you couldn't pay for repairs when your motorcycle was wrecked, or if you couldn't pay the fine when you were arrested, like if you got caught. And basically, if you finished a race, depending on where you finished in the race, you would get, different prize money, even though it was, like, underground racing, I think, or whatever. But, yeah, and it had some, like, I think that game had weird, like, digitized chicks at the end as you crossed over the finish line.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Digitization was... That was realism back then.
Yes.
Sprightly young ladies.
They were sprightly, all right.
Sprightly young hooas. All right, let's go with number twos. Number twos.
Oh, I think you just dropped a number two with that joke.
All right, now you're going first on number twos. Hit it.
I am?
Yes.
All right. This, once again, once I got to the top 30, it was pretty clear for me. And this one was a PlayStation 2 game for me. Great soundtrack. Great aesthetic for a college student. Wipeout Fusion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lot of fun. Great game. You know, I love Wipeout. I've only played, I think, three of them. I don't know how many they made. Presumably, like, a billion. But Wipeout Fusion, to me, is the one that really stands out as just being excellent.
I much like Keith, have played a lot of Wipeout and a lot of the series of Wipeout. Unfortunately, as much as I love the graphics from like a design standpoint, and the music was always awesome in those games, I sucked at it. So it didn't make my list just because, although I tried to have fun playing it, I never really did. Because I was awful at it.
It takes a while to get used to how floaty a lot of that stuff is.
And does anybody else have any comments on that one?
I remember. I agree. I think just that the controls were a little. It took some getting used to, but once you kind of got it, once you got into the groove of the game, it was awesome.
Yeah, I'd get good at like one or two tracks with one or two ships, and that was about the extent of it.
Man, a hovercraft ain't gonna have a steering wheel and pedals, man. It's got all new controls.
True.
Wasn't one of the Wipeout games packaged with like just an American sleeve over Japanese packaging? I don't know if that was like the original PlayStation 1 or something like that.
I don't know.
I believe it was.
Did one of them come with a music CD?
No, but you could buy the music separately.
Okay, that's what it
was. The music was so good.
That's what it was.
It was like Beth Orton and Chemical Brothers and that kind of shit. I might be making it better.
I think the Thrill Seekers were on it. I don't remember. I've actually got the CD over here somewhere.
Yep. You do. You do. All right, well, I'm going to go with number two since mine's going to be quick and painless. My number two slot is Need for Speed 3, Hot Pursuit.
Copycat. You like it more than me.
Simply,
or you ranked it higher.
I ranked it higher because of how much I played it. And it was a toss-up between that and Road Rash for the two and three slots. Both based on the amount of fun I had while playing them. There's other games I thought were more inventive or, you know, more interesting. But for sheer fun and amount of time spent playing, I ended up with Need for Speed. So, Tom, where are you at on number three?
Okay.
Two, sorry.
I just want you to know I had to make a lot of compromises and decisions I'm going to come to regret in arriving at a number two and a number one. I guess, and this is clever the way I did this, I would put at number two a game for the Nintendo Entertainment System by a company better known for some of my favorite role-playing games, Square, a game called Rad Racer, which...
Ugh. That game.
You drove a little red Ferrari, and it was awesome because you got to choose from, you had radios, you could tune into different songs on your radio, and which was awesome because I had a favorite track. I couldn't tell you what I liked about it, but there was one song I loved, and I played the hell out of the game. I played the hell out of the game because it brought home to me a close enough version of an arcade experience I could barely afford, which prevents this game from being on my list, but that experience being OutRun.
Yes!
Another excellent Sega racer.
Yeah,
which I know I mentioned before that Hard Driving was one of like the more expensive dollar games, but I would say OutRun was probably at least 5 years earlier than that, and it was a buck to play that sucker, along with its brother Afterburner, so you could go and blow your whole quarter wad on two games real quick.
I think you were getting hosed at the Air Force base there, man.
What? Oh, you mean, no, this was, we're talking Rad Racer and OutRun, we're talking about
OutRun and, was cool, man. OutRun was the first game where, like, you saw, like, the way that car flipped over was badass.
Yeah.
And the sound system on that. I remember the first time I played it, I was like 18 or 19 when it came out. I was in California, and my buddy worked at Fuddruckers, and I was in there waiting for him, and I heard this noise and this badass music. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I go back there, and I see this cabinet with this game on it, and the low roaring of the engine when you would shift. I was like, holy fuck, this game is badass. And again, yes, pick your sound, your radio station, and flipping the cars and picking up hot chicks. That game was the shit, man.
It was, and so...
But you picked Rad Racer.
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Rad Racer makes my list because it brought home enough of a facsimile that that's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
To satisfy a kid who... I never owned Rad Racer, but it was one of the games, like, I would rent. Every time I got, like, $2.50 together, I would go down to the... video store, and I would rent that game and just play it and play it and play it and play it. I loved it.
So three questions for you. What car did you pick?
In Rad Racer? Mm-hmm. I picked the red Rad Racer car.
3D mode, yes or no?
Was there 3D mode?
There was a 3D mode.
Do like the little dithering thing. I never did 3D mode.
Yeah, it did really bad red, blue, 3D. And also,
That was like the real, like the old school 3D, right? Where it would like separate and you had the red and blue layers.
Yeah, you just had like red and blue pretty much.
Yeah,
it was bad. 3D World Runner had the same thing going on for it.
That's right. Holy crap, I forgot about that feature to tell you the truth.
Did you ever play it with a power glove?
You could not, no way, you could play it with a power glove?
Didn't you ever see the wizard?
It was too bad, man. The power glove was so bad. I couldn't.
Yeah, Lucas pulls off the power glove and he plays Rad Racer with the power glove, which is something you don't do because Rad Racer would be really bad to play with the power
glove. I can't imagine Rad Racer lending itself to the power glove.
Yeah, right? It probably doesn't.
Actually, the power glove was useless in general, except to look cool, I guess, to try to steal Spread Savage's girlfriend. But, yeah, no, I never messed with it. Who had a pair of 3D glasses at home that they could bust out?
It came with it.
He didn't rent the game. It came with him.
I rented the game, so that explains it. They probably let the first kid take them home, and that was the end of those.
I'm saving this for when I see my next 3D movie.
All right, whose turn is it? What are we on? We're on two.
We're dropping the juice.
I'll go next. And this was a really hard choice for me. Like harder than... do I want a big screen TV or do I want a new automobile? And I had the exact same dilemma that Tom had. It was between Virtua Racing and Daytona USA. Because Virtua Racing was out before Daytona, so I played Virtua Racing. And then when Daytona came out, it stepped in and took over. And Daytona USA was... That's my number two game, man. We not much more to say other than... It was friggin' amazing. And when you were linked up with, you know, it would be three of us and then there'd be other strangers racing. It was just like, you know, we were NASCAR racers. That's just the way it was. It was awesome, man.
The cool thing about that game, and it was also the hardest thing to get used to, was the roll-in. Remember? Because you had a rolling start. You were already going.
Right, yeah. And then the wheel would catch. The steering wheel would catch because it was freewheeling. Yeah, and it takes, you know, it takes skill, for lack of a better word, to be able to drive a force feedback racing game. But since I was a pro at hard driving, I figured I could handle Daytona USA, and I did. That game, number two.
Can we just touch on how amazing the music was in that game?
Yep.
Well, you know, it was so loud. You walk into this place that has over 800 video games, and all you hear is Daytona! From miles away, that's all you would hear, man.
They re-released that for Xbox Live Arcade.
And it sucks!
Well, no, they have a karaoke mode in it, though.
What?
Where you're driving around, and I think it just flashes the word on the screen for, like, Daytona!
Wonderful!
It's like a song mode in it.
Daytona USA, number two.
Nice. All right. Now we're at the number one slot. Does anybody want to go? Is anybody itching to drop the hammer on the number one spot?
I'll go first.
Do it.
Wipeout. And every incarnation of Wipeout, with the most recent incarnation on the PlayStation 3 being the greatest when you played in 3D. I've only had a PlayStation 1 and a PS3 and a PSP, and I've owned all versions of Wipeout for all of those devices, and it is by far the greatest racing game ever made. If you can't drive one, you don't deserve to be playing racing games.
You know what? That doesn't surprise me, because I figured that was going to be your number one pick.
It's a great game.
But what I'm surprised wasn't within your top five, a little game called Stun Runner, my friend.
Oh, that was up that. As much as I love Stun Runner, yeah, these five games are definitely above it. That I had up there with, you know, hard driving, but hard driving definitely beat out Stun Runner. And then, you know, it didn't fit in the top five. It might be six or seven, but it's not top five.
All right, we'll do a speed round of honorable mentions after we get everybody's number one. Grant, what's your number one pick?
Burnout 3. No contest. Burnout 3 is just a fantastic game.
Nice.
They used to have that game. I don't know where it is.
It's just... I don't know. There's a lot of Burnout games, right?
Right.
But it's just they all... In essence, they contain that beautiful feeling of you're meant to crash into people, and the carnage that you cause is just so phenomenal. It was actually problematic to the point where I would play that game for, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day. And then I would go out and hop on the road, and all of a sudden I'm like getting that urge. I can get that itch in my hand, like, hey, if I weave into traffic, I'll go faster.
So what system was that for?
I had it for the original Xbox. I'm like, there's a lot of, like, I've been playing Burnout Paradise recently, but, and this is a curious paradox. You take a game like Burnout and put it in an open world, and all of a sudden it's a lot less fun to me.
I was just going to say that because I played Burnout, like, the first one, I think, on the PlayStation, I think? PS2,
probably
I don't
PlayStation
know.
2, yeah.
And then, like, you know, like, I rented it or borrowed it from somebody or whatever. And then once I got my 360, I noticed that Paradise one you're talking about. And I was like, man, this game's nowhere near as fun as I remember it being.
It's not, and which is weird because normally when I play an open world game like Grand Theft Auto or Saints Row the Third, the only part that's really fun to me is just driving around wrecking into shit and causing chaos.
Exactly.
But you take a game where the point is to drive around, wreck shit, and cause chaos, and all of a sudden it's not as fun in an open world setting to me. I don't know how that works.
Great, but it kept the arcade in the racing game, which, like, you know, we already mentioned Gran Turismo and Forza, those have gone realistic, where Burnout's kept it, you know, fun and exciting.
It's keeping it silly. I'm a little bit disappointed now. The guys who made Burnout have gone on to, they're now the primary developers for the Need for Speed series, so.
Well, that means somebody knew how to hire proper employees.
Yeah, well, the problem is I'm not going to be seeing a new Burnout game that I like.
Oh.
I'm guessing there's not going to be too many.
All right, Tom, hit us with your number one.
My number one pick, I guess maybe the number one was either you arrive at then sort of numbers two and three and so on, where I had to sort of pick and choose. My number one pick of Racers, the game that I played, probably devoted the most time to and got the best at and just loved the overall concept and look of, was F-Zero for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. I absolutely love that game. And I have a soft spot for it to this day. And it was the first game I downloaded on the Nintendo Wii's Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was like a hovercraft game, right?
It was a hovercraft game, and at the time, it looked awesome. Like it was. If it wasn't a launch title for the Super NES, I want to say it was pretty early.
It was
a release. It looked incredible at the time, and I just loved, like, the whole. It was futuristic hovercraft, and you had these different, like, you know, each one had a pilot, and there was a little backstory to the pilot, and each ship had its own different abilities, and so on and so forth. And I just basically aced every board, got, like, maximum ranking, did everything, had a blast with that game. It was really fun.
I remember, I mean, I didn't have that system, but I remember playing it at a friend's house, and it had a good... sense of speed, like you were really hauling ass in that.
You really were. You got the sense that you were going at, like, speeds that were beyond the ability of a modern day car.
Right.
This was definitely in the future when things were way, way super fast.
I never played it on the big system, but one day while I was at work, I convinced, like, four other guys to head on over to Sawgrass Mills Mall. And we all bought Game Boy Advances.
Nice.
And somebody bought the multiplayer adapter and the F-Zero cartridge that came out for the GBA. And we spent many a lunchtime playing that game. I sucked at it. I was horrible at it.
The original Super Nintendo version didn't even have multiplayer, which was probably its biggest shortcoming.
Really?
Yeah,
it was split screen.
I think that... I mean, at the time, it made extensive use of the Super Nintendo's scaling and rotation abilities, and I'm sure, like, it was all they... It was, like, basically a tech demo for those, and they didn't want to...
Was it Mode 8? Mode 7? Was that what it was?
It was Mode 7, actually.
Mode 7, yeah.
And,
I remember what the other 6 were.
That's Meteor, actually. I don't think they listed out the different modes.
For those who don't know, what defined Mode 7?
Mode 7 was Nintendo's gimmicky marketing name for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System's native ability to do sprite scaling and rotation.
Just for clarification, there were 6 other modes. There might have even been 7 other modes to the Nintendo for the amount of sprites and at what resolution they could all be displayed at. It just so happened that I believe most of the games for the Super Nintendo all relied on the same mode if they weren't going mode 7.
I'm going to, when I publish this podcast, I'm going to publish it through an F7 mode filter. So it's awesome.
The Super NES had a pretty, like, it had many advantages, I guess, over the Genesis in that it had native hardware support for things like transparencies and, like what Grant was saying, different resolution modes and the whole scaling. Pretty much, Mode 7 was almost shoehorned into a lot of games in a gimmicky way, like just like the Wii motion controls are for the Wii today. Like, they would just have these huge sprite scaling scenes for no reason. But for F-Zero, it was used brilliantly to get across a 3D effect that was really not, there were, you know, the polygons weren't really available yet, so that was as close as you get. It was great.
Awesome. All right, so for my number one pick, no polygons, no color, the one, the only, no F7, Super RC Pro-Am for Game Boy, the original Game Boy.
Wow.
No way.
Dude,
an RC game.
RC Pro-Am was hella fun.
That game was super fun with all the different tracks, the power-ups in the tracks, the grabbing the little puzzle pieces to spell out the words, and then you can cash in and get, like, upgrades. Dude, everything about that game was sick. It was definitely a 9-dead legger. I spent many a toilet time playing the beloved Super RC Pro-Am. Oddly enough, I didn't love the NES version as much. I didn't hate it, but I don't know. There was something special about the black and white Game Boy version that I just absolutely loved. So that was my number one pick for just time spent, enjoyment had, and game and replayability. Dude, I can still pick. I picked that game up this week, and it's still crammed in there, and I can't stop playing. Addicted, sneaking it in my back pocket when I go to the John at work. It's ridiculous.
I gotta agree with you. That was a hell of fun game, and that Tetris and R-Type are pretty much all I ever played on that thing.
And Bionic Commando.
Well, yeah.
Bionic Commando was kicking
ass. That rounds out the top four. And that was cool because that was actually, you could do like 2 or 4 player on a Game Boy with a Super RC Pro-Am, which was pretty sweet.
Way ahead of its time.
All right, so that wraps up everybody's top 5 racing games. We're running a little long in the tooth, but I would really love to hear a quick fire honorable mentions of stuff that you want to mention but didn't get on the didn't make it on your top 5 list. Keith, go.
Well, you mentioned the RC game, and in my number 5 spot I had Gran Turismo, but I was debating between that and Revolt.
Revolt, oh yeah.
Oh yes, I
Revolt. That's a fun ass game, and I played a living shit out of that.
Damn it, that was a good game.
Yeah, I loved Revolt a lot. I really expected Rick to pick a game, but we'll see who his honorable mentions are before I spill the beans. One of the games that I wanted to put on my list, but I didn't play it as much as others, was Ridge Racer. That was same vein as Daytona, and it was, but it just wasn't top 5. Ridge Racer was awesome.
Grant, go.
Cinema Kaiba Japan World Cup.
Oh, I love that game. Is that a soccer game?
It's racing. it's horse racing in particular. I just wanted to pick a goofy Japanese horse racing simulator because I do not get those at all. Like, I do not understand them. I don't get the draw. And I'm from Kentucky. I'm supposed to
have horses. They don't have horses in Japan, apparently.
They just eat them. Maybe they don't.
I mean, so there's that one. Super Sprint. Super Sprint's another one that I love.
Oh, is that the one where you could, like, it was a top-down and you could drive, like, 4 people playing on a game?
Yep, Super Sprint was absolutely fantastic. Top Gear for Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Top Gear was badass.
That one would be up there for me. I really enjoyed that one. And now, finally, for the wild card finish, I'm going to have to go with... Do I even have another one? I don't really play a lot of racing games. Can I say Wipeout again?
Sure.
just because it's a great game.
Tom, hit us.
Okay, I'm really going to rapid fire through these. So here we go. Okay, Cobra Triangle for the Nintendo Entertainment System, which was a boat racing game. It wasn't a racing game in the strictest sense, but it was all about hauling ass and beating time trials. So, and it wasn't like the racing was. Okay, rapid fire. So Cobra Triangle for the NES. I will also agree Ridge Racer for the PlayStation. It was one of the defining PlayStation games. It had an awesome soundtrack. It was arcadey and light. It was awesome. Sega GT for the Sega Dreamcast was phenomenal. Love that game. Mario Kart for the N64, absolutely loved. A game called, this is getting toward the periphery of my memory, Turbo, I believe. Which I played on the ColecoVision or some such thing.
Oh, yes, correct. And it was an arcade version. That's on my list, too.
That game was awesome. Who could forget, Prepare to Qualify, Pole Position for the in the arcade, which was awesome, but hard. I died constantly. With some feedback in the wheel, I've been too much to ask. There was going to be free wheel. And for the Nintendo Entertainment System, a game that frustrated the hell out of me by not having a save your track you've spent hours designing feature, Excitebike, the dirt bike racing game.
Oh!
Yes, they actually did in the Japanese version, for like the original Famicom version.
Yep.
With like the disc system or something?
It's like a tape backup system or something.
Can I go ahead and say that it's odd that you never mentioned that Mach Rider had to design your own track feature in it?
Just don't remember it.
You couldn't save it, so who cared?
Yeah, I know.
By that point, I was probably already burned by Excitebike, so. Yeah, I don't remember Mach Rider for having a track that feature at all.
Yep, and it was the same thing, Famicom version, you could save it, but not the NES version.
Bummer.
And just a little tidbit of trivia for our listeners out there. For the last, say, 40 years, I've been calling it Excitebike.
So do I. All right, so this is in no particular order. Turbo, arcade version. Outrun, arcade version.
Yes.
Gran Turismo. Vigilante
V8. Anybody?
For PlayStation?
That was not as good as Twisted Metal 2.
It was way better than Twisted Metal 2.
Wow.
You are out of your goddamn gourd if you think that. You are out of your Eddie Gordo.
All right, there's a game that I can't remember the name of, and maybe it was Rally Truck Racer? You guys remember this game where it was like a top view? It was a lot like RC Pro-Am.
Off-Road.
Off-Road, yes.
Oh, Off-Road was good.
Some Atari picks, of course, Pole Position. Atari Home System, we've got Dodge'em. And from Activision, we have Dragster.
Hi, remember Dragster.
Love them.
Can I throw in one more of mine now?
Do it.
For the TI-82 calculator.
F1.
Did that make its way down here? I'm trying to figure out if all these games are just local things handed down from kid to kid or not, because there was this game called F1 where you were just a plus sign dodging between these circles that kept coming down from the top of the screen.
Yeah, I had that on my Apple and my Commodore Pet, so yeah. And then I think the most regrettable game... Grant's going to use that. Damn it! The game that I regret most not making it onto my list... My beloved. The reason why I bought a PlayStation 2 after saying I was never going to get one. Stuntman.
That was a game. That game is hard as balls.
That game is hard as balls, but I'm fucking awesome at it.
Oh, I am so bad at that game.
I remember Rick would just call me every day or text me or email me, whatever, and tell me new stuff about it, how awesome it was.
I love that game, dude. I love it.
Super.
So,
I got two games that weren't mentioned, thankfully. One game that's just wicked fun, and it's an arcade game only. Well, I don't know if it's on a console. Is Crazy Taxi.
Yes.
Oh, that was cool.
And Tom had a boat one, and I have a boat one. Hydro Thunder. That game, even today, I played it recently, and that game's fun as hell.
You need an Xbox, man, because you can get both of those in arcade.
Oh, man, can I throw out Lucky and Wild as one of mine?
Sure, and I'm going to throw out Jumbo Taxi or whatever. What was that called?
Oh, Jumbo Safari.
Yes, Jumbo Safari. That game was the shit, man.
I was trying to think of that game all day today, and I couldn't even. I kept searching for Safari, and I'm like, I'm not finding it. What is it called?
For those who don't know, Jumbo Safari is a game where you're, like, on the Serengeti, and I believe you can play two players, but you're sitting in a Jeep. And you play co-op, like one person drives and the other person has the net button. And you drive around the Serengeti and you net animals to catch them. It's friggin' awesome.
Can I throw one more in? Can I throw
yes.
one more in then? Since we're on the topic of Ridge Racer, I will say whichever installment of Ridge Racer, I want to say it was Ridge Racer 4, came with the weird twisty in the middle custom PlayStation controller. It actually had this weird analog controller. That was cool.
Yeah, we got to do an episode on weird controllers, because there's definitely been enough of them.
Dibs on Steel Battalion.
Dibs on the TurboTouch 360.
Wow.
Dibs on fishing game controllers.
Was there any love at all for Rush?
No.
Nobody mentioned a Rush game.
That was a pretty cool game.
Never got into it. I don't have any beef against it.
I think I did.
No Mario Kart love.
I said Mario Kart. That was in my rapid fire. I like
that. Oh, that was rapid fire. Count.
All right. Well, I'm sure there's a shit ton of games that we missed. So I think we're gonna call it here. Let's pull this bitch into the pits and get some new tires. Maybe do a little housekeeping. What do you say?
Well, if we're talking about housekeeping, I'm gonna go ahead and recommend that all of our listeners open up iTunes. Go to the Nerd Extravaganza podcast. Maybe give us a rating, a 5-star rating. Leave some comments, some questions, and hit that little subscribe button.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can hop on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com where you can download the show, stream the show, give us your top 5 list. And if you want to email us with show suggestions, complaints, or what have you, you can email us at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
Days of Thunder, starring Tom Cruise as racing Maverick Thunder.